John McCain and I, we're a couple of mavericks.
Just before Sarah Palin resigned as governor of Alaska, the planet's best and best known Sarah Palin impersonator got an Emmy nomination.
You know, we're going to take every aspect of the crisis and look at it, and then we're going to ask ourselves, what would a maverick do in this situation? And then, you know, we'll do that.
The national consensus is that Tina Fey is pretty much a genius. But she was also well-trained. In her early days, Fey studied comedy in Chicago under a teacher named Del Close. For years and years, up until his death in 1999, Close was the improv comedy guru. His students also included John Belushi, Gilda Radner, Mike Myers, and Amy Poehler. Ed Zara is an improv comedian who's been chasing the legend of this master teacher.
If you're serious about comedy, you've got to know Del Close. The only trouble is Del Close is dead. So the next best thing is to talk to his students.
I think improvisation would not be the same without him.
That's Tina Fey. When I started looking into the cult of Del Close about 10 years ago, Fey was a recent graduate of Del's classes in Chicago. She had just finished her first season on Saturday Night Live when I caught up with her in Central Park.
There's a definite breed of improviser and sketch comedian that was influenced by him and still strives to do work that would please him were he to ever see it.
Those comedians now dominate much of film and television. They also run the premier improv theaters in the country, like Second City, Improv Olympic, and the Upright Citizens Brigade. Del Close helped establish them all.
I remember that first class we went in, and we're all really scared of him, and he looked like a monster. I mean, he's just like this curmudgeonly man. He was coughing the whole time. I remember our first class with him. I say our because I know Amy Poehler and I were in that class together. He had just gotten false teeth, and he was in a terrible mood because his teeth really hurt. I even got dentures or something.
Well, my first class that I took with Del was like a makeup class, and I didn't know anyone in the class.
Rachel Dratch is another Del Close student and SNL alum.
I came out to do this little thing. It was something about Eraserhead or something, that movie. And so I came out, or whatever. And he stops everything. He's like, well, what's your name? And I was like, Rachel. I could feel the impending doom. He's like, yeah, that's the kind of thing they do over at Players Workshop, which is like, you know, the highest of insults. And I was just like, gulp. I wonder how many people just, like, quit because they thought they sucked. And, you know, he was pretty harsh. But if you made it through there, then I guess you're never going to, like, face that again. You know what I mean? Like, once you make it through, I guess it just makes you more resilient.
Dratch did make it through Del's class and went on to create one of SNL's most beloved characters, Debbie Downer.
You're enjoying your day. Everything's going your way. And along comes Debbie Downer.
Debbie Downer juxtaposes ordinary situations like a birthday party with the harsh reality of disease and death. Del Close would have loved it.
Make a wish!
All right, who wants cake?
I want some, I want some.
All right,
oh,
you
give
get
me
some
a rose.
Cake.
Okay.
None for me. With all the refined sugars we're eating, America's experiencing a virtual epidemic of juvenile diabetes.
Growing up in small-town Kansas in the 1940s, Del always had an odd sense of humor and was a frequent target for bullies. He loved horror comics so much that when his alcoholic and abusive father mysteriously turned up dead, neighbors wondered if teenage Del was behind it. He ran away from home at age 17 and joined a traveling sideshow called Dr. Dracula's Tomb of Terrors. Eventually, Del turned to acting and improvisation, which he would make his life's work. His advice to budding improvisers on stage was simple: follow the fear. For Del, a cringe of revulsion was as good as a laugh, and sometimes better.
I think he was a provocateur, in a way.
Ian Roberts of the Upright Citizens Brigade and a cast member on Reno 911 says that Del sometimes pushed it too far.
I remember we did this one show called The Horror. The theory was that you can't do justice in improvisation to horrific acts. Stabbing someone, raping someone. You can't really do it. What was generally assumed to be a comedy venue would really kind of shock the audience. You'd have walkouts. You'd have people go, oh! And the first time we did it, the response, after it was done, nobody clapped to Del. You heard Del and Beck go, ha, 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 ha. That's all you heard.
On and off stage, Del Close followed the fear to some pretty dark places. For years, he was addicted to heroin. It was a habit that he passed on to his student and friend, John Belushi, with tragic consequences. Andy Dick is another Del Close student who knows addiction.
When drugs and alcohol became too comfortable for me, the fear was of getting sober, and I didn't follow that fear. And if I would have kept following the fear, I would have got sober earlier. I didn't think of it that way until just this second.
Del was hooked on drugs and alcohol for decades, and he wouldn't kowtow to anyone, not even his employers, who fired and rehired him repeatedly. And as an actor, he never got much work.
He had a small part in a very good movie, one of my favorite movies, called The Untouchables. So if you don't know what Del looks like, you can rent The Untouchables.
Excuse me, Mr. Ness. You have a visit.
Mr. Ness.
I'm Ness.
John O'Shea, Alderman, 43rd.
Yes, Alderman.
He's this guy trying to bribe the Kevin Costner character, going, "Oh, everybody can be bought.
You fellas are untouchable. Is that the thing? No one can get to you?
Mm-hmm. You took a pawn.
Hey, everyone can be gotten to.
And I'll see him in hell."
Del was capable of great performances, but he never knew the success he helped so many of his students achieve.
Mike Myers and Chris Farley and John Belushi, we're talking about the people that he taught became successful. That's a testament to him and his success. He was very successful, but in his mind, maybe he thought, "Oh, I never made it."
Like every American I'm speaking with, we are ill about this. We're saying, "Hey, why bail out Fannie and Freddie and not me?"
Last fall, in her now legendary parody, Tina Fey bravely took on a vice presidential candidate by using her own words against her.
To help shore up our economy, to help, it's got to be all about job creation, too.
Truth in comedy. Del liked that idea so much, it's the title of his book on improvisation. For Del, being real was not only the stuff of biting insults, it's the gold standard in comedy.
You learn not to try to be cute in your work. And if you were ever cute as opposed to truthful, he would ream you. He would be so viciously cruel afterwards that it broke you of it. And I'm very grateful.
10 years ago, at age 65, Del Close found himself on his deathbed. Viewing it as the final scene of his life, Del threw a party in the hospital. Friends and former students like Bill Murray and Harold Ramis flew to Del's side. They drank martinis, listened to live jazz music, and the Upright Citizens Brigade sent a camera crew. Speaking behind an oxygen mask strapped over his long gray beard, Del Close seemed to cheer up a bit.
"You know, as I leave it, I begin to realize that we really haven't done such a bad job. And if that sounds too soppy, screw it. You know, we're not doing as bad as they claim we are. And so let's hear it for the human race."
For Studio 360, I'm Ed Zeller.
"And you could charm the critics and have nothing to eat. Just slip on a banana peel, the world's at your feet. Make them laugh, make them laugh, make them laugh."
This weekend at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in New York City, performers are in the middle of a Del Close marathon, 72 continuous hours of improv comedy. You can find out more at studio360.org.
"Take a fall, but a wall split a sea."
And coming up, are these artists ready for prime time?
"I make performative sculptures that act out stage fantasies related to coming of age, sexual identity, feminine power, violence."
"I make torture devices."
Get online at the casting call for America's Next Top Artist. That's ahead in Studio 360 from PRI and WNYC. Stay with us.